Well, good morning, church. I'd like to thank everyone for being here and allowing me to share with you guys. You know, as always, it's a blessing for me to get up here and be able to preach the word of God to you guys. You know, I think about it often. It's like, you know, how can I get up here and preach to you guys, you know, about capturing your thoughts and holding every thought captive before Christ, you know, if I'm not doing it? You know, how can I get up here and speak to you guys about, you know, about being a reflection of Christ in your home and in your workplace, you know, if I'm not being a reflection of Christ in my home and in my workplace, you know? You know, how can I get up here and preach to you guys about having hope, you know, about never giving up on the people that God has put in your life, you know, the people that God has put in your lives, you know, if there's no hope in me, you know, if I'm giving up on the people around me, you know, I can't, you know, it doesn't work that way. And so for me, it's a blessing to be able to get up here and to share with you guys. And, you know, everything that I speak about today, everything that I share with you guys, you know, these are things that God is working. These are areas that God's working in my life. You know, they're things that he's revealing to me through his word or experiences. You know, I fall short every day, you know, and these are things that I need to apply to my life as well. You know, so, you know, with that said, I'd like to try to just jump in this. We're going to be going over 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 1 through 11. And we'll start off with 1 Peter verse 1 and 2, yeah. All right. So Peter starts off and he says, you know, therefore, since Christ suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves also with the same mind. You know, for he who has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin, that he should no longer live the rest of his time in the flesh for the lust of men, but for the will of God. There's a lot there, so I'm going to go ahead and try to break it down as best I can. You know, Peter starts off and he says, you know, since Christ suffered for us in the flesh, meaning since Christ suffered for us in a human body, you know, and in human ways, you know, everything that followers of Christ go through today, you know, from persecution, you know, to death. You know, persecution, I'm not trying to compare it to the other persecution that's going on in other countries. I'm talking about here in the United States, you know. From persecution to death, you know, whether it be in your workplace, you know, maybe you're being outcasted for standing firm in your faith. You know, maybe you're being outcasted for not compromising, you know. Maybe you're being mocked or ridiculed because you pray for your food. You know, maybe you're being mocked or ridiculed because of the Christian music that you listen to, you know, and death, you know. You know, followers of Christ are being killed all over the world today, you know, and today it's happening in the United States. You know, look at all the shootings that are going on right now. You know, there's been a couple of them where the shooters actually asked the victims if they were Christians, you know. You know, and so as followers of Christ, you know, we need to be prepared for these kind of things, right? You know, but how? You know, it says, since Christ suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves also with the same mind. You know, as always, we need to look to Jesus. As always, we need to fix our eyes on Jesus. You know, how was Jesus able to endure the cross? You know, how was Jesus able to deal with those who doubted him? You know, how was he able to deal with the rejection and the persecution, you know, from those who doubted him and those who hated him and those who killed him, you know, those who he came to save, you know? How did Jesus do it, you know? You know, everything that Jesus did, you know, everything that Jesus thought, every word that Jesus spoke, every step that Jesus took, you know, he took it with the Father in mind. You know, he spoke it with the Father in mind. You know, Jesus was obedient to his Father's word. You know, Jesus was obedient to the will of God. You know, and that is the mind of Christ. You know, and Peter is telling us, actually, I feel like he's ordering us or he's commanding us, you know, because, you know, arm yourselves, you know, it's a military term. You know, Peter's not being soft here. He's not being passive by no means. You know, he's being firm and he's being direct. You know, he's saying, you know, arm yourselves with the mind of Christ. You know, he's not saying, you know, Christ died for you, so you might want to take on the mind of Christ. It might be helpful to you. No, he's saying arm yourselves. You know, arm yourselves with the mind of Christ. You know, persecution will come your way. You know, death will come your way. You know, the enemy is there. You know, Satan is ready to attack. You know, so arm yourselves with the mind of Christ. You know, we need to be living this way. You know, we need to be in the Word and know the things that God is calling us to. Amen? So Peter goes on, he says, "For he who has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin, that he should no longer live the rest of his time in the flesh for the lust of man, but for the will of God." You know, now does that mean that, you know, if you go through something traumatic and you're suffering for Christ, or if I'm walking down the street and I get beat up for being a follower of Christ, that I'm going to stop sinning? No, you know, I believe the suffering is talking about, the suffering he's talking about here is about putting the flesh to death. You know, starving the flesh. You know, no longer giving in and feeding the desires of the flesh. You know, and when I say flesh, I'm talking about our bodies, right? You know, this body, it longs for the things of the world. You know, we have a sinful nature in us that is contrary to the desires that God has for us. You know, for he who has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin. You know, we're starving the flesh. We're putting the flesh to death and on a path to a sinless life and in eternity with God. Man, you see, you know, God has a plan and a purpose for each one of us. You know? You know, we're not here today by chance. You know, we're not here today by coincidence. You know, God is pursuing us. You know, God is pursuing you. You know, he wants us to choose him. His desire is that we choose life over death. His desire is that no one shall perish. You know, but in that same breath, right? In that same breath, we need to let go of some of the things that we're holding on to. You know? You know, what are some of the things that we need to let go of in our lives? You know? Is it pride? Is it addiction? Is it vanity? Is it money? Control? You know, we need to live, you know, we need to filter those things out of our lives and no longer live for those things, but to live for the will of God. You know, and why? Verse 3. It says, "For we have spent enough of our past lifetime in doing the will of the Gentiles when we walked in lewdness, lust, drunkenness, revelries, drinking parties, and abominable adulteries," right? And, you know, I can't speak for everyone here, but I know that's true for me. You know, I spent enough time living in the flesh. I spent enough time in all that nonsense. You know, you see, before I surrendered my life to Christ, you know, I remember, you know, thoughts of my past would pop into my mind and it brought a smile to my face, you know. Believe it or not, you know, the gang lifestyle and all that came with it, you know, brought a smile to my face. You know, the violence, the drunkenness, you know, the parties, the illegal money profiting, all those things, when I used to think about it, bring a smile to my face. You know, but today, you know, today I try not to even think about those things. You know, today those things bring me shame. You know, I think, how could I do those things? You know, sometimes things from my past will pop into my mind, you know, something that I thought I forgot about, something that, you know, I'm like, it just comes up and right away that shame comes on. And it's ugly now. You know, it's a feeling of disgust. And for a moment, you know, for a moment, it's a feeling of defeat, you know, and I feel condemned, you know, that there's condemnation there. And right away, I say, man, this is not from God. You know, this is not from God. This is from the enemy. And right away, I have to get into prayer and I say, Lord, you know, forgive me for those things that I've done. Forgive me for my past, Lord. And you know what? God takes away that condemnation that the enemy tried to set before me. You know, he takes it away and his spirit brings conviction. You know, and his conviction, it brings forgiveness, and that forgiveness, it brings redemption. You know, we're redeemed. You know, we're redeemed. We're no longer, you know, the people who we once were. We are no longer, you know, chained to our past or to the things of this world. You know, and it's crazy. You know, it's crazy because of this next verse, it says, you know, in regard to this, you know, in regard to us no longer living the lives that we once did, that they think is strange, right? Verse 4, it says, in regard to these, they think it's strange that you do not run with them in the same flood of dissipation, speaking evil of you. You know, isn't that crazy? You know, people who are lost, you know, people who don't know Christ, you know, they think it's strange when we don't walk according to the ways that we once did. You know, they think it's strange when they see a raging alcoholic, you know, sober, clear-minded, and focused. You know, they think it's strange when they see someone who was once violent, but yet is now passive, loving, and kind. You know, they think it's strange when we don't use the words that we once used, or listen to the things that we used to listen to, or view the programs that we used to watch. You know, they think it's strange. You know, but it's not strange. You know, it's not strange. It's God in us. It's God's truth. It's God's promises, and it's God's love in us. And, you know, it has nothing to do with us. You know, it has everything to do with God in us. You know, I'm not up here today because of me. You know, I'm up here today because of God. You know, and the sad thing is that they don't think it's strange when they damage and destroy their bodies with drugs and with alcohol. You know, the sad thing is that they don't think it's strange, you know, when they tear down their homes and they ruin their families. You know, the sad thing is that they don't think it's strange when they jump from relationship to relationship, you know, looking for something that's not there. You know, that's the sad thing. That's the strange thing. But you know what? Regardless of what the world thinks, regardless of what the world thinks about us, regardless of what the world says about us, you know, we're to be the light. You know, we're to be the light in the midst of darkness. You know, we're to be the example. And we shouldn't be angry. We shouldn't be angry at the world for acting like the world. You know? You know, and we definitely shouldn't be judging them. We should be loving on them. You know, verse 5 says, they will give an account to him who is dead. They will give an account to him who is ready to judge the living and the dead. For this reason, the gospel is preached also to those who are dead, that they may be judged according to men in the flesh, but live according to God in the spirit. You know, we're not to cast judgment. You know, we're not here to exalt ourselves above non-believers. We're not here to exalt ourselves above anyone. You know, we're here to be a light. We're here to come alongside those who are broken. You know, we're here to encourage and be an example to those who are lost and to those who are misled. You know, judgment is God's and God's alone. You know, dead or alive, we'll all be judged. One way or another, we're all going to be judged. You know, so are we ready to be judged? You know? Are we ready to kneel before our Maker and hear what He has to say to us? You know, because two things come to mind, right? One of them is, well done, good and faithful servant, right? Well done, good and faithful servant. And the other thing, you know, the other one is, you know, depart from me. You know, I never knew you, you who practice lawlessness. Man. You know, are we ready to be judged today? You know, are we living a life worthy to the calling that God has set before us? You know, definitely something for us to be thinking about, definitely something for us to be meditating on. You know, how are we living our lives today? Verse 7 says, but the end of all things is at hand. You know, therefore be serious and watchful in your prayers. You know, this is pretty straightforward right here, right? You know, he's not saying a few things. He's not saying the most things. You know, he's saying, you know, all things. But the end of all things is at hand. You know, Jesus is going to return. You know, Jesus is coming back soon. You know, maybe in our lifetime. You know, maybe in our children's lifetime. We don't know. But we do know that he's coming. You know, and Peter's saying, you know, it's at hand. You know, it's going to be soon. You know, therefore, be watchful and serious in your prayers. You know, how many of us are serious and watchful in our prayers? How many of us have a prayer list that we read off of or that we go over in our minds? You know, anybody? Right? Well, this is something that we should be doing. You know, this is something that we should be doing. You know, I mean, how can we expect God to move in this nation and to move in our leaders if we're not bringing it before God? Right? You know, how can we expect to grow? How can we expect to overcome the struggles and the obstacles that we face daily, you know, if we're not in constant communication with our Heavenly Father? You know, if we truly believe that Jesus is returning soon, we should be praying that way. You know, for ourselves, for our loved ones, and, you know, for those who are lost. You know, there's so much that we need to be praying for. You know, we need to have a serious prayer life. You know, in verse 8, it says, "And above all things, have fervent love for one another, for love will cover a multitude of sins." Out of this whole scripture, you know, this verse really stood out to me. You know, for a couple reasons. You know, one, it says that, you know, whatever we just talked about right now, above all that stuff, you know, love one another. Above all else, love one another. You know, the Bible continuously, you know, stresses, you know, the importance of love. You know, we are to love God, you know, with all our heart and our soul. We are to love our neighbors as ourselves. We are to love our enemies. You know, for God so loved the world, and that gave his only begotten Son. And I want to read 1 Corinthians chapter 13. It says, "If I speak in the tongues of men or of angels, but do not have love, I am only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have faith that can move mountains, but do not have love, you know, I am nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor and give over my body to hardship that I may boast, but do not have love, I gain nothing." You know, love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It does not dishonor others. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects. It always trusts. It always hopes. And it always perseveres. Right? Love. You know, above all, love one another. And you know, for me, I feel like I hadn't known love for a long time. You know, for me, I felt like I didn't or didn't really understand love. You know. You know, don't get me wrong. I grew up and my parents loved me. You know, I grew up and my parents took me to church and I knew God at a young age. I knew of God. You know. But at the same time, at the young age of 11, I was already making poor choices, you know. So, you know, at the age of 13, you know, I was already in a gang and pretty much addicted to meth, you know, at the age of 13. So, you know, so my love, my understanding of love was all twisted up, you know. You know, I used to tell my parents I loved them. You know, I used to tell my brother and my sisters that I love them. You know, I had my daughter, and I got married, and went off to prison. And they used to come visit me, and when they would visit me, I would tell them that I love them. You know, I would tell them that I love them. And to me, love meant doing anything in my power to cause harm to anybody that was causing harm to my family. To me, that was love. You know, like, man, I would tell me I love you guys. I'll do anything for you guys. I'll kill for you. You know? You know, to me, that was deep. And you know what? That was my understanding of love. But now, that I'm surrendered to Christ and God is working in my heart and God is working in my mind, you know, I understand now that sometimes it takes time. You know, sometimes it takes time to understand God's love for us. You know, sometimes it takes somewhat of a mature mind, you know, to understand what God's love is for us. You know, look at my wife. You know, my wife's a perfect example of the scripture where it says love covers a multitude of sins. You know, here it is. You know, we get married and she's committed to me. You know, she stands by my side for 13 years, you know, those 13 years I was away. And, you know, she's raising my daughter. You know, and I get out of prison and it's like, I want to do what I want to do. It's all about me. You know, I'm living in the world. I'm fulfilling the desires of the flesh. I'm an atheist. I'm just, you know, nothing. You know, I'm tore up. And here she is, you know, you know, my wife, she continues to love me. Yet my wife continues to serve me. Yet my wife continued to forgive me, you know, over and over, you know, until I couldn't deny it. You know, I couldn't deny what I seen in her. You know, what I seen in her was God's love for me through her. You know, and that's the love that only God can give. And that's the kind of love that's life-changing. You know? And that's the kind of love that God wants us to understand so that we can take it in and that we can give it out. You know, because when we come alongside those who feel that they're unlovable, and we come alongside them and we love on them, you know, God moves in a major way. You know, when we never give up, you know, God moves in a major way. When we open up our homes, you know, lives are transformed. You know, but it's not us. Once again, it's not us. It's God's love in us. You know, it's God's love in us that we're able to give out. You know, sometimes we don't understand God's love. You know, sometimes we don't understand God's love for us. You know, and we go through it. You know, I go through it. You know, sometimes I think, I'm like, man, Lord, like, how could you love me? You know, and there's this song that we've been singing, and it says, you know, I lean out on my own understanding, and you know, I give it all to you, God. You know, and I'm trusting in you, God, that you're going to make something beautiful out of me. You know, and when I hear that song, it chokes me up. You know, it chokes me up because I know me. You know, I know how tore up I am. You know, I know the things that I've done and the places that I've been. And Lord, you're telling me you're going to make something beautiful out of me? You know, that he's going to make something beautiful out of us? You know, and I don't know if you guys know how tore up you guys. I know how tore up I am. And the thing is that he promises that it doesn't matter where we're at in our lives. It doesn't matter where we've been in our lives. You know, his love never changes. You know, his love never changes. And love covers, you know, a multitude of sins. And I'm telling you, when we understand God's love, and when we understand God's love, we can love on others. You know, when we can love on others in that manner, in that way, you know, in that way that God calls us to, you know, it's life changing. You know, and I'm an example of that. You know, God's love and my wife was able to transform me, you know, from a tore up from the floor up to atheist, you know, to up here preaching love to you guys, you know, right? That's a
So, you know, so love one another. You know, love one another. Love covers a multitude of sins. You know, that verse really stood out to me. You know. And so let's continue verse 9. Be hospitable to one another without grumbling. Right. We need to be hospitable to each other. You know, be hospitable, you know. If we see someone out there, if someone has a need, let's come alongside them and let's meet those needs, you know. If someone needs a place to live, let's open up our homes and welcome them in, make them feel welcomed and love on these people and do it without grumbling and do it without complaining. You know. Verse 10 says, as each one has received a gift, minister it to one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. You know, we are the body. You know, we are the body, and we have a lot of people here who are talented and gifted in a lot of different ways. You know, we have some people here who are blessed with wisdom. We have a lot of people here who are encouragers. You know, we're here for each other. You know, we're here to strengthen each other, to come alongside each other. You know, as iron sharpens iron, you know, we're here to encourage each other, to help each other. Excuse me. We can't do this on our own. And we weren't created to do this on our own. You know, we are the body. Let's come together. Let's encourage and don't hold back. Don't be shy, you know, and try to do it on your own. Sometimes we do it on our own. We continue to fail. We continue to struggle with the same things when we don't need to, you know. You know, when God has blessed this person over here that could help you, or God has blessed this person over here that could help you, you know, we've all been through something, and God don't waste anything. God don't waste, you know. So we need to minister with the gifts that God has blessed us with to one another, you know. You know, it's all for the glory of God. Verse 11, you know, if anyone speaks, let him speak as the oracles of God. If anyone ministers, let him do it as with the ability which God supplies, that in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom belong the glory and the dominion forever and ever. Amen. You know, we are to speak truth. We are to speak truth. We are to speak God's truth, you know. And it says, if anyone ministers, let him do it. Oh, you know, so we're to speak God's truth. And when we have the opportunities throughout our days, let's take those opportunities. You know, you see somebody, you know, reach out. And whatever God puts in your heart, you know, let's be bold and courageous and share those things, you know, at work, in our homes, you know, wherever we're at. You know, excuse me. You know, it says, if anyone ministers, let him do it with the ability which God supplies. You know, God gives us many abilities, and we're not to waste those things. You know, and it's all for the honor and glory of God. You know, I don't know. You know, I don't know where everyone is at here today. You know, I don't know your circumstances. I don't know your situations. But I know for me personally, you know, I have a lot of areas in my life that I need to bring before God in prayer. You know, I have family members who are sick, you know, who are struggling with addiction, whatever it may be, you know. And so I need to be bringing those things before God. And as I get ready to close this up, I just want you guys to think about that, you know, to think about that with the people in your lives, you know, what's going on in your life? What are the areas that we need to bring before God? You know, who are the people in your life that need that prayer, you know, and so let's be praying for these people and not only praying for them, but expecting results, you know, because God will move. God hears us. We have a God that doesn't just hear our prayers. He answers our prayers. You know, And so the last thing is that, you know, there's three things that I'd like for you guys to take away from this message. You know, and the first one is, you know, is putting the flesh to death. You know, not fulfilling the desires of our flesh. You know, that we depend on God's strength. You know, that we need to be sacrificing and saying, you know what, Lord, you know, I'm putting this to the side. You know, I'm going to do this and I'm going to stop doing that. You know, I know you've been calling me to this for a while, Lord. And today's the day. I want you to take it from me, Lord. You know, Christ died in the flesh. You know, we are to die to the flesh. And the second thing is our prayer life. And, you know, let's be serious and watchful in our prayer life. You know, if you don't have a prayer list, then start one. Start one today, you know. If you don't know anyone who's sick, you don't know anyone who's addicted, you don't know anybody who has financial needs, if you don't know anybody who's in depression, lonely, you know, if you don't know any of people like that, then, you know, you can come talk to me and I'll give you a couple names and, you know, you guys can start a prayer list today, right? And, you know, the last thing is, above all else, just, you know, love one another. Understand God's love for you so that you can give that love to somebody else. Like I said, you know, when we understand God's love, you know, we have it in us, then we're able to give it out, and God is able to move in these people's lives, you know. And, you know, God, we have that calling on us. You know, we're not here just to come to church on Sunday, you know, and to work the rest of the week. You know, we're here to reach out to those who are lost and to those who are misled and those who are hurting and those who are broken. You know, God, you know, we have a purpose, you know, and it's to bring those to Christ, to be a reflection of Christ. You know, people see you and there's something about you, you know, there's something different in you, you know, and it has an appeal to it. You know, and that it's not us. Once again, it's not us, but it's God in us, you know. So with that said, I pray and I hope that you guys can take those three things, you know, out of this message that, you know, your flesh, you know, not giving in, saying, you know what, I'm gonna abstain from that, you know, I'm not gonna do that, and in our prayer lives, let's start, you know, let's be praying, you know, having a serious prayer life where we're on the floor, we're on our knees, we're praying, we're calling out to God. And last, you know, above all else is love, you know, just keep loving on each other, loving, never giving up on our families, never giving up on those who are around us. And with that said, I thank you guys for being here and listening to me, for your patience, and God bless you guys.